What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Pels and Whistles. I'm your host, Rel Myers, and I'm coming to you in a much, much better mood than the last time we spoke to each other. Last time was warranted. I've run into a lot of people who are like, look, never heard you talk like that. I've never heard you, you know, that upset before. And they really got it out of me. They got it out of me that time. And then Tuesday, after the Pelicans lost to the Lakers yet again, that was a different type of deflation after that game. But Zion, let's talk about Zion. Zion Williamson scored 40 points in that play-in game against the Lakers on Tuesday night. He also had 10 rebounds and 5 assists. Sadly, he injured his hamstring. I believe it's the opposite hamstring of the one that he hurt in January of last season. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. We hear that all the time. But, I mean, it's a better diagnosis than what it could have been. But the timing just hurts so bad. And I know that he wants this so badly, and he's that close to the finish line. Just for him to have another injury that's going to have him sidelined potentially through the whole first round of the playoffs, should we, you know, make it to that point, right? So, man, that was really rough. And, you know, initially with me being in the arena, I don't know what they're saying on the broadcast about Zion leaving the game or why he's left the game or if he's gone to the locker room, whatever have you. I'm looking out on the court and I don't see Zion after the timeout. And I'm like, where's Zion? Where's Zion? Where is Zion? I'm looking on the bench. I don't see him. So I'm tweeting, pardon me, where is Zion? And people are like, oh, he's in the locker room. He's hurt. And I'm like, when did this even happen? So it was stressful. It was stressful, man. But the Pelicans, I feel, could have very well won that game. I mean, Zion went on a little bit of a run. And even after he had gone out, I mean, Jose was making some really good plays. Trey Murphy was finishing well. Things were starting to turn for us at the last minute there where we may have been able to pull that game out. Like, just maybe. We'll never know now. But we might have been able to win with Zion in that game. And now you just never know because he got hurt again. And, you know, at that point you've lost and you have another game coming up and yeah, we beat the Kings 5 times, but that's really difficult. Can you beat them 6 times? Well, they did. The first quarter was unbelievably stressful to me in that game. I feel like everything the Pelicans did, especially passing specifically, was so indecisive and it was just, you know, it's everything's on the line on this night. Like, you got to come out there and you got to play, like, perfect. And in the first quarter, I just felt like they really did. And, I mean, they lost the first quarter by, what, 2 points maybe? So it wasn't really, like, that tough. But I was just so nervous. Trying to pull up the box score here now that I got a separate screen for me to look at while I do all this talking on the camera and whatnot. But they... I was expecting for De'Aaron Fox specifically to not have a super good game. And I mean, he got 35 points, but it didn't really feel like he had 35 points. And they had, let's see, 5 players in double figures, but it didn't feel like many other people were really contributing outside of Sabonis and Fox. And, you know, Sabonis is always going to get a double-double. He had 23 points and 14 rebounds. And he's a guy who, if you look, he just looks different than what you see in the box score, if that makes sense. Like, you kind of just have to watch him and watch his game and see what's going on out there. There's a lot of people who don't really care for him or his game. I don't really have a huge opinion on it. I just know that Jonas Valanciunas gets up for this matchup. Those guys are Lithuanian teammates. They're friends. They both really want to beat each other. And now that the Pelicans have beat the Kings 6 times, I can't actually remember the last time that Sabonis has been able to win that matchup. So that's been nice. But Brandon Ingram had a bit of a bounce back game. He had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 very exciting block. The time that the block came was great. Just the whole sequence of that play. And it was 2 plays back to back that were really, really exciting plays that led to corner threes for us. And the momentum was just nuts. And the energy in the building was nuts. And that was a lot of fun. But B.I. shot 10 for 20 from the field also. Need to note that because 50%, not bad at all, man. He looked a lot better than he did earlier in the week. I mean, at the end of that game on Tuesday against the Lakers, he got benched for the last 7.5 minutes. When Willie Green was asked about it, he said that he just liked the guys that were out there. So he went with them. But, like, you know, it makes you nervous because why is a guy like Brandon Ingram, who's one of your like one of your top dogs, one of your max players, why is he riding the bench in this like elimination game? Basically, like, yeah, losing that game, you still end up with another one, but like it's an elimination game at the end of the day. So that was a little bit unsettling, but it seems like B.I. and Willie had a talk about it. B.I. came into the gym like the next day. He was the first one there. He was ready to, you know, tackle the day, take care of business, and get ready for this next game. So he had a bit of a comeback game in that Kings game. Trey Murphy, though, our beloved three-point shooter, he only shot 2 for 7 from the beyond the arc, but he was 6 for 12 from the floor overall, and he finished with 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. So shout out to Trey for crashing the boards and getting those rebound numbers up. Because someone of his size, he should absolutely be grabbing some freaking rebounds, man. Like that type of length, you got to get active on the boards. And I love to see our wings. I love to see him, Herb, B.I., get out there and grab some boards. Don't just leave it up to your big man. But Jonas had a very good night last night. I don't think I read his stats off, but he had 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 3 assists, and 2 blocks. Jonas had a really exciting block, too. And I feel like Jonas, I only remember one of them, I feel like, but a guy like Jonas who has like a 2-inch vertical, you know, you're not used to seeing him blocking shots out there, but he was taking care of business. And Jonas actually, I think it's Jonas, B.I., and CJ, they're all on the leaderboard for the most points scored in the in-season tournament. Jonas has participated in the in-season tournament every single season since its inception. This is his 5th time being in there and his 3rd time as a Pelican. So what a freaking mess. Why would we have 3 people on the leaderboard? Like, that's so wild. But shout out to Jonas Valanciunas. He was in a little bit of foul trouble. He had 4 fouls last night. But Larry Nance stepped up in his minutes that he played. He had 4 fouls also, but he had 13 points. He was a plus 11 in the game. Larry also was able to get 4 rebounds and 3 assists. But guess who had more rebounds than Larry Nance? Jose Alvarado with 5 rebounds. Jose had 10 points himself, too. So he brought the energy off the bench. He was 4 for 8 from the field. Najee Marshall, who had gotten a DNP the last game and is coming back off an injury and wasn't looking too hot, he had 11 points, and he was a plus 11. He had 6 rebounds and 2 assists. He shot 5 for 11 from the floor. So it was a pretty balanced effort. I mean, listen, Herb had 5 points. He only took 3 shots. One of those 3, he hit a 3-pointer. He was 1 for 2 from 3. One of those 3s he hit was huge. That was one of the corner 3s I referenced a few minutes ago. Herb only had 5 points, and he was a minus 14 somehow. He and Jonas are the only ones that are a minus as far as the plus minus goes. Jonas is minus 4. But I'm very confused as to what was going on there with Herb's minutes. But and we saw Dyson Daniels for all of 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Whatever went into the decision for Willie to not play him in the second half or the second stint of minutes that he normally would have played turned out to be a good decision. I don't know what happened there, but cool. We won the game anyway. But again, back to Herb. A little bit of a weird performance from him, but hey, if he was out there making De'Aaron Fox work harder for those 35 points, then great. Love it. CJ McCollum, though. No, sir. 7 points for this guy. This is a guy who destroys the Sacramento Kings every single chance he gets. And I don't know now if it's something specific to Golden 1 Center, if he just likes playing in their arena specifically, but last night he should have been in a headspace that they were there instead of in the blender, because 7 points from one of your $30 million a year guys is not going to cut it. Against a much better team, that would not, like, we can't have that in the playoffs. Like, plain and simple, we cannot have that from CJ in the playoffs, especially missing the points and the production from a guy like Zion. Like, no. These last couple games has been, like, a dud from CJ. We need more. And a lot of people, you know, they criticize him to no end, even on nights when he can drop 30 points. On those nights, I feel like he doesn't deserve so much slander that he gets. But last night, he was not great. He was still a plus 7, though, so whatever. But he had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. I don't know how these guys were getting all these blocks. It's crazy. But CJ, 3 for 8 from the floor, which his field goal attempts are low. When does CJ take 8 field goal attempts? That's kind of unheard of. But again, we won the game, but we don't want to see that become a trend. We need more production from him. And if you're not going to have much in terms of scoring, going to need some more assists. And maybe he had like some hockey assists. Maybe he was contributing more, you know, in a way that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. But those four turnovers I'm looking at, those aren't great. But also Trey and B.I. also had four turnovers and Herb had three. So team effort on the turnover stats as well. But we're in the playoffs now. I don't care for OKC, and it's mostly just from a hater standpoint. I think that they have they lapped us. Like, they should not be number one when we're number eight. Like, we were able to get to number one in, like, December, and then, you know, at the time we didn't have B.I., and then Zion got hurt in January, and, like, they've been at the top of the standings all season long. So this is just me being a hater, and that's fine. I know what I am. There's no secret about this. So I don't care for them. Because I'm jealous. It just is what it is. Would love to beat them. I was like, you know, kind of praying on their downfall a little bit, hoping that they'd be out in the first round, and it would be amazing for it to be, you know, a blow that came from us, but just don't know if it's going to happen without Zion, and that's totally fine. I'm mostly just thankful that we didn't miss the playoffs altogether, but at some point, that's not going to be enough. You're going to have to win a playoff series, but Game one is going to be on Sunday night at 8:30 Central on TNT. Game two is Wednesday night at 8:30 Central on TNT. Game three is all the way on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Central on TNT. So first home game of the playoffs for us is going to be at 2:30 in the middle of the day during Jazz Fest. Game four is on Monday night. The time for that in the channel is to be determined. So I guess we'll figure that out as time goes on. The league will have to figure that out, and we'll see what happens. But looking around the league, let's see who we got in the playoffs otherwise. All my windows are messed up now. Thunder versus Pelicans, obviously. Clippers versus Mavericks. Timberwolves versus Suns. Nuggets versus Lakers. And then over to the Eastern Conference, we have Celtics versus the Heat. Cavaliers versus Magic. Bucks versus Pacers. And Knicks versus the 76ers. Now, I think my picks with that would be, and I'm not going to pick for our series. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. But my picks would be the Mavericks, Timberwolves, Nuggets, and then for the East, Celtics, Cavaliers, Pacers, and Knicks. I think I really like the Orlando Magic, but I think the Cavaliers might be able to go ahead and win this series against them. But the Magic, they do definitely have a very bright future ahead of them. The Pacers, I'm looking at the Pacers winning just because I don't trust Milwaukee. And the Pacers have had some success against Milwaukee this season. So I think that they'd be able to beat them. And that is pretty much, that's pretty much all I got. We're going to see. We'll see what happens. I really hope my Pelicans can make this a competitive series. It was just such a long, hard road to get there that I hope now it's not all for nothing. You know, like, we have a lot of data on what we need moving forward, and the postseason shouldn't change what we need to do moving forward as far as the personnel in this team. But I am very curious to see what we can manage to accomplish against an OKC team that's been very good so far this season. And I'm just hoping that it's officiated fairly, because we all know how many free throws Mr. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets on every night. So if you made it this far in the episode, I appreciate you watching. I'm Rel Myers. I've been your host on this episode of Pels and Whistles. Take care.